to the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast, episode 328, and I am your host, Adam Mangum. There are a lot of what-if scenarios in BYU sports history, and in this episode, we reverse it and do what-ifs about the future of BYU sports, including whether we'd want a bunch of wins against Utah or a few wins over top 10 teams. We play out a bunch of these different scenarios. Also on the show, Nick Emery is officially back, and of course the NCAA screws it up, and the curious case of Ben Olsen and other BYU freshman QBs. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout podcast. Find this and other great shows at deseretnews.com/podcast. Follow us on Instagram at BYU_RiseShout, and listen to Matt and I talk right now. So Matt, let's see here. Did you see The Incredibles 2 this weekend?
Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you two questions.
Okay.
When did Incredibles 2 come out?
Thursday night.
So this would make this past weekend opening weekend.
Correct. That is what they call it.
Okay. So based on my history, what do you believe that I saw it?
I do not believe that you saw it. Have you seen Solo yet?
I've not seen Solo yet.
We can't talk about movies if you don't go to them.
But do you know what I have seen?
What have you seen?
Incredibles 2. Boom. Mic drop.
Wait a second. All that was a setup so you could then tell me you have seen it?
Yes.
We just wasted 60 seconds. That was a complete and utter waste of time.
You're a complete utter waste of time.
That's true. I think my wife just said something similar to that. So you saw Incredibles 2 on a scale of 0 to 10. Where would you put Incredibles 2? A million, Matt. The only answer is a million.
That was not on your scale. That was not a number in the range you provided.
That's right. Seriously, though, did you like it? Did you have a good time?
I did like it. I'd put it in like a 7-8 range.
Did you cry when they killed Han Solo? I mean, why do they keep having to kill Han Solo in every movie? It's just, it's too much. It's too much.
I was like, did I miss that part? There was a dirty diaper in there, but I didn't think I went out to change it.
So our first tweet bag question.
Tweet bag
comes from Facebook. You can tweet at it. You can Facebook at us.
Facebag.
Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Randy Whittle says, is Incredibles 2 the best sequel Pixar has done? So let's start. He has a second part of the question. And then there's even more from Dan Roach here in a minute. Is Incredibles 2 the best sequel? They haven't done a lot of sequels. It's certainly better than Cars 2. We can throw that one out, right?
Yeah, beats Cars 2.
But is it better than Toy Story 2 or 3 for you?
Yes. I thought Toy Story 3 was pretty good. I didn't really care for 2 as much.
Yeah, I think it is the best sequel Pixar has done, all due respect, as I said, to Cars 2, also known as Mater 1. Yeah, I think it's good. Where does it rank overall in Pixar? It's probably top 5 or 6 for me.
It's definitely top 5 or 6 in Pixar? Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, Coco, by the way, they're on quite a string right now, okay? Like, Coco was amazing. I love Coco. And, you know, Inside Out was great. I did not see The Good Dinosaur, but I don't think anybody else did either. You saw it? Did you like The Good Dinosaur?
It's good.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one. I'm sure I would like it because I like all Pixar. But Dan Roach asks a follow-up question. How does it stand up against superhero movies in general? If so, where does it rank? Matt, where does this, now that you've actually watched some superhero movies in the last year, where does it stand up? Like, does it fit with other superhero movies? You're like, nah, it's just a kid's movie. It's not quite as good.
No, I think it fits. You could stand this up against general superhero movies, but I don't know that I would rank it in like the top 10 of superhero movies of all time.
Are you ready for a bold statement?
Oh boy.
Incredibles, the first one, is the best superhero movie of all time.
The first one?
The first one. Incredibles 2, I would guess it's a top 5 or top 6. I'd have to really think about that one. These are two of the greatest superhero movies of all time. And part of it is that animation helps. because you can do some crazy stuff that you just doesn't look as good, right, in live action, right? Even with CGI, I mean, heck, they couldn't even make in Justice League, they couldn't even make Superman's upper lip not look like it was colored in by Photoshop, right? But the other piece is, like, the characters are so well done. Like, don't you feel like you know Mr. Incredible? Right?
Yeah, actually, it's pretty well done. I do like what they've done there.
We won't, you know, spoil the movie because this is, we're recording Monday night, and there's probably some of you that have not gotten a chance to see Incredibles 2, but I'd recommend it. So, Matt, before we move off into BYU topics, our brother Don wants to talk about the World Cup. Do you want to talk about the World Cup?
Sure.
So do you have a team in the World Cup? Since the United States is not in the World Cup this year, do you have a team that you're rooting for? I mean, a lot of times Mormons pick their mission country, but I did not see Ukraine in this either.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't really have a dog in this fight, as it were.
Dog fighting is illegal and immoral. I can't believe you said that.
Well, I was using it as what's the word?
I don't know. I was just trying to be a jerk.
Proverbial dog in this fight. I don't have a proverbial dog in this proverbial fight. How's
That's
that?
Good. That's good. Those qualifications make it okay. I had a football coach in high school
who was an English teacher, and he used to tell us, he used to say to you, you need to pull your proverbial head out of your proverbial. I'm just not going to finish it. But I think you know where he was going with it.
I don't understand. Could you complete it? I'm not following. I'm just kidding. Don't complete it.
Yeah, I don't really have a team, but I was shocked that the score to a World Cup match was like, this is what's going on in this World Cup match right now, was shared over the pulpit in a church meeting on Sunday.
No joke. Which match was it?
Germany-Mexico.
Oh, Germany-Mexico. Yeah, that was kind of a good one.
I'll just say, without getting into detail, we had a special guest. It wasn't President Uchtdorf, but it was somebody from Germany who was following the score from the pulpit.
Well, he was disappointed then.
He was disappointed.
Because Los Tri pulled off the big upset.
Huge upset.
I don't know that I have a team. I often will root for England. I'm not sure why. Didn't we break from them?
Watching the
football on the telly. I did not, but I don't know. I don't know if I have a team. I enjoy watching Brazil play. They're fun.
Brazil is fun to watch.
That match against Switzerland, which I watched all 90 minutes of. I don't know.
Portugal
is fun to watch. Spain, but now we're just listing the good teams. Like, I don't really have a team that I root for. I found that, like all other sports, I root against the referees.
Yeah, the referees.
I'm always screaming at the television when they make a wrong call, and Kathleen's like, "Oh, you care about this team? No." And why are you all mad at the refs?
The referees sometimes in international soccer, I feel like it's watching the referees on the old days of WWF, right? Where, like, they're being distracted and then behind them, like, something terrible is happening. I feel sometimes that's the emotion. When I was a child and didn't understand that stuff was fake, yes, spoiler alert, it's fake.
International
you get emotional.
Soccer is fake?
Oh, my gosh. Well, no. But I feel myself having those same kinds of emotions when I watch soccer refs sometimes. It's crazy. But soccer at this level is so fun to watch.
It's a ton of fun to watch. I'll tell you this much. Going back to the refereeing, my kids were absolutely – they couldn't get their heads around that there's only one official in the field of play. Because then they asked me, well, how many refs are on the court in an NBA basketball game? 3. How many refs are on the field in a football game?
American football, just for clarification.
Yeah, well, this is an American podcast, so I don't know that we need to clarify, but fine.
I will be using that phrase for the rest of this show.
All right, great. How many are on baseball? You know what I mean? Like, and all of a sudden, they're like, one of my daughters said, can they just not afford to have more? That was my 9-year-old's like, well, they must not have enough money to hire more officials. So anyway.
There's plenty of money in soccer.
There's a bit. And then I explained to them that more people watch this than watch American football across the world. And they're like, more than the Super Bowl? And I said, yes, the finals of this will be more than the Super Bowl. They were amazed. Well, Matt, let's go to the CougarFan.com, Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, Algernon Brown signed with the Chiefs, which basically, apparently, Andy Reid is trying to recreate the 2012 BYU football team. I'm just kidding. I don't know if Algie was on that team.
You're just yelling out numbers. You're just yelling out years.
That was just too long ago, so it was a bad joke. But you know what I'm getting at. So Matt, Nick Aletto on Facebook has this question for us. Are you ready? So Brown signs with the Chief. Is this just Andy Reid being Andy Reid, or is it another example of BYU guys underperforming at BYU and then reaching their potential in the NFL? Hashtag climb on in. Hashtag face bag. Because he did this on Facebook, Matt. What do you think of Nick's question? Is this, I mean, because Algie, obviously Brown was not a big player at BYU. He had an okay career, but this is not a guy that you probably thought at the time is destined to play on an NFL team.
Yeah, I'd say it's a little bit too early to say this is an example of a guy underperforming at BYU than reaching their potential in the NFL at this point, right? He hasn't played it down. So guys come in, let's slow our roll on that a little bit. But I mostly right now I want to say this is just Andy Reid being Andy Reid.
Yeah. So he had his junior season 731 yards. 709 yards. Almost 6 yards a carry, 11 touchdowns. Right. Over his career, he averaged 5 yards a carry. I liked him as I just always got annoyed when they used him in short yardage situations, if you recall.
I seem to remember you getting annoyed about
that. I thought he was a good running back, so I can't say I'm super surprised. He had a decent little career, caught 35 passes. You know, I thought he was fine. He fumbled a little bit, but I thought he was good. I didn't think he'd play in the NFL, nor do I think at this point this means he will ever have significant NFL playing time. But, you know, hats off to him. Made the roster, and you know, he's been out of school for a couple of years, and we'll see where it goes. But I don't think, Nick, this is any more than a guy that is continuing to try to make it at the next level, working hard and getting a shot. I think that's what this is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is.
All right.
And we'll see what this looks like long term, right? And then we can.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So Jeff Call of the Deseret News is running a series about the pros and cons of starting a true freshman quarterback at BYU. Okay. And I think he's ran like a bunch of these articles already. Okay. And we discussed the Jake Heaps one before, right? And we discussed Drew Miller a little bit and a few other things when we talked about, you know, some freshman quarterbacks. And I basically said there really aren't that many, right? There's a few. But most of them ended up starting as freshmen because something went wrong, right, with the other quarterbacks, right? It wasn't necessarily because of that. So this one article is he's got this where he basically a bunch of advice from former guys that started as freshman quarterbacks. And, you know, I'm not going to go through all the advice. And, you know, Drew Miller, I think, had the money quote, okay? And I believe this is true in most cases. He says you can transfer 5 or 6 times and then end up with nothing to show for it. You can take care of business in the classroom and do it the right way and be prepared for the real world. So, Matt, are you buying or selling Drew Miller's advice that it's probably better in most cases to just stay put, focus on what you can focus on, and then move on?
I think that it is, in most cases, better to just stay put as a freshman, especially, right? When if you're trying to make a decision in that context. I thought even Jake Heaps' comment on that made a whole lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
And I think you can see in both of those quotes what went wrong and what is now the well-documented Jake Heaps saga. When he talks about focus on the things that you can control, and that's all that matters, and don't listen to the outside noise. And then Drew Miller's basically saying, like, hey, don't just assume you're in the NFL as a freshman, right? Like, you got to prepare yourself for other things down the road either way.
Yeah.
So get your priorities, prioritize a little bit. But that's pretty hard. If you're coming out of, but the flip side of that is you're coming out of high school and everybody's talking about you going to the NFL and you're going to be this great thing. And you get somewhere and you feel like you're not getting the right shot, and you're going to need the right shot in order to showcase your talents to get to the next level. And, those are the types of things that you're hearing and thinking. It's pretty hard to throw that kind of perspective on it. And don't you think there are some circumstances where, I mean, are there circumstances? I'd have to think about it. Maybe at other schools where it's like, no, like, this guy's got a shot to go to the NFL. He ought to just dial in.
Well, there's Russell Wilson who did transfer, right? And yep. It worked out really well. I get what Drew Miller's saying here, and I don't actually disagree with him. I think in most cases you're better off not chasing a starting job around the country, right? But I also understand that if there's a coaching change or, you're towards the end of your career and you think you've got a shot at starting someplace else, I don't think after your freshman year, to your earlier point, is probably the time to do it, right? I think you need to try to compete. But, I mean, another article that Call wrote was about Ben Olsen, right? And he plays his freshman year, plays, meaning he didn't play at all, right? And Croton, according to Olsen, and actually I know a few people that played on that team, according to several people that played on the team, Olsen kept being told he was going to play. And then he never played, right? And he ends up, transferring off his mission and goes to UCLA and never really played, didn't play a ton at UCLA either, right? I mean, compared to what he thought he was going to do. And then on top of that, he, of course, everybody thought when he got recruited, he's going to play, 10 years in the NFL, right? His perspective is basically, I didn't like my situation at BYU. I transferred, went to UCLA and competed. And, he feels like he made the right decision. Knowing what I know about that team and what happened in 2002, he left a dumpster fire. So I'm not exactly, I can't blame him at all, and I never rooted against the guy when he was at UCLA. Like, it seemed like some BYU fans were like, serves him right, he wasn't that good. I would have rather he stayed and been good, but.
And he didn't get he didn't suffer injuries in those things because he left BYU. This wasn't karma coming back to bite him. I mean, that's not what that was. And you can't tell me, if you just set this aside for a second, and if that was your son and he came and asked you after being told time and again that he was going to play and everything else that was going wrong in the program at the time, you would really counsel, even if it's not your son, you'd really counsel a young man in that situation to stay? That's insane. We were a train wreck.
It was a train wreck. The whole thing was a train wreck. And obviously, like you said, it really was – more than anything else, injuries that defined his career at UCLA, right? And, like you said, if it was my son or if it was me, it seems like that is the decision we would make. Take the decal off the helmet for a second and isn't that what you'd tell anybody?
Yeah, right? I mean, this goes back. This is the example I was searching for in my comment earlier, right? This is a guy that everybody, by all accounts, was headed to the NFL, was that type of a prospect, and it looked like he was going to get sucked into and lose out on that opportunity because of all the weirdness that was going on in the program at the time.
Yeah, it's And there was a lot of weirdness, unfortunately, going on with the program at the time. Speaking of legendary Cougars, Matt, another Deseret News article that I got a kick out of this week was by a friend of the podcast, Dick Harmon, about Kalen Hall. And of course, he's got some sons that we're kind of interested in now. But Matt, what do you remember about Kalen Hall?
I just remember speed.
Yeah, speed.
Or is my view tainted?
I think you're right.
Because of watching his son. I just remember him being fast.
Yeah, he was a good running back, came out of Dixie College at the time, and averaged over 5 yards per carry. And then of course KJ and Kalen have got, you know, obviously one son is coming off his mission, so we'll see how that turns out with Jaron. But you look at this and you say it's pretty. These legacies are cool to me. I like them. BYU's not the only place that has these, but it seems like BYU has more than most universities, right? And maybe that's not even true. I just follow BYU closer than anybody else, but I just think it's cool, you know, and that was an impact player when he's here, and now had a couple of kids play, and I think that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, and Jaron, I mean, we're talking about, a lot of times we weren't talking about the true freshman starting quarterback right now. It's Zach Wilson, right? Because he was in, you know, he was there for spring ball, right? But don't sleep on Jaron Hall long term either, right?
Yep.
Athletic guy, supposed to be very, very bright and analytical. So, Matt, BYU Media Day is coming. I forget what day it is, but.
Well, just ask a Utah fan. They're sure to know.
Oh. Well played.
That was right off the cuff. We didn't even plan that. No, that was awesome.
No, we did not. That was well done. Well done, Seth.
Just check Utah Twitter. I'm sure they know.
Yeah, they'll know for sure. So anyway, the Lawless Republic had an article about the five things they hope to see. So we're going to go through their list. You tell me, thumbs up, thumbs down, you want to see this on BYU Football Media Day. All right?
All right, let's do it.
These are five potential announcements, and some of them are a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but some of them are legit. Okay, number one, new ESPN television contract.
Oh, thumbs up.
And I don't think they're off base here. I know people keep saying that, like, people are unplugging their TVs. I don't think people understand. I really don't think people understand the media market when they say stuff like that. Because right now, the live sports is where you're going to spend money. So I think BYU gets as more money. This is my prediction, either from ESPN or somebody else in 2020.
Yeah, nobody's giving up live sports in order to cut the cord.
No, no.
Right? People who are into that, who are the viewers that ESPN is after, are only cutting the cord after they've discovered a way to maintain their sports watching. I mean, that's how I did it.
Well, and ESPN, keep in mind here that ESPN's whole business model and a lot of these cable channels was based on false revenue. And by that I mean, you had a ton of people paying for ESPN through cable subscriptions that never watched ESPN. I mean, so basically, they're going to get paid, BYU. And even another mediocre to bad season will affect that some and hurts them in negotiations, but they're still going to get paid. So don't think that there's not going to be one in 2020 if they're 4-7 this year, right? Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
They'll be fine. All right, number two they have here is a Notre Dame series update. Matt, thumbs up or thumbs down on us getting a Notre Dame series update?
Thumbs down. I don't want it. I don't want a Notre Dame series update.
Why?
Because it's going to be bad news.
At this point, I've given up on the Notre Dame thing. I don't think we'll ever.
They're not coming, everybody. Notre Dame's not walking through that door.
They decided to do that ACC deal, which was good for them. Stunk for us because I was kind of hoping we'd play them like every other year for a while. But, you know, we're not going to see it.
Yeah, is it bad to make the joke that what we thought was a series with Notre Dame is like the girlfriend that never existed?
Oh, wow. Yeah. No? Yeah.
Should I have left that out?
I would have left that one alone. You know, glad I didn't make that joke. I'll just pin that all on you. So, Lawless Republic, and by the way, this is from author Ron Jensen, so we're giving credit where credit's due. The rest of the 2018 TV schedule, Matt, thumbs up or thumbs down? Would you like to see that?
Thumbs up. I'd like to see that. I want to know so that I've got months of my life to play.
That's true. You won't see it, though, because some of those games are going to end up being – we won't know the TV stuff till late in the season, right, that second half of the year. And they're not in BYU's control, right, because the rights exist with somebody else. So, number four, new series with an intriguing program. Matt, thumbs up or thumbs down to a new series with an intriguing program?
Thumbs up. That'd be a lot of fun. And we need to keep establishing those types of long-term relationships.
Yes, but who? I mean, does it have to be a Power Five new series, or would somebody like Air Force count?
I think Air Force would be fun.
Yeah,
I think the team they list here is Army. That could be cool.
That Army would be fun. Army would be fun.
I don't think it'll be. We do get a real series with an intriguing program, it won't be a P5 school. Let's just be honest.
It could be, but you're probably right. The last one they have is their pie in the sky, which is joining a conference. We find out at Football Media Day the BYU is joining a conference. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs down. Don't want to hear it.
Because it's going to be us joining the American Conference. I'm not interested.
That is unnecessary.
Not yet. Not yet. So, anyway, all right. Well, interesting. Matt, I don't know that there's going to be a lot at Football Media Day this year, despite the fun of this article. I don't think there's going to be a lot there. Matt, speaking of next season, or maybe last season, or maybe just seasons in general, Tim Jacobson asks, in your access to advanced stats, do we have access to advanced stats?
Special access, not available to all mortals.
That's right. Do you have any data on time in the pocket, time after snap to completion percentage?
Yikes.
If not, at least the number of linemen drafted and completion percentage.
This is interesting, huh?
So on the second one, I don't know, Tim, about linemen drafted versus time in the pocket. I think you'll find it at schools that do not place a lot of guys in the NFL, that those things are not necessarily correlated, right? Because you could have an NFL guy get drafted and the rest of your line is bad, right? So, you know, I don't know if those things will be as correlated as you might think they are. I think that's more about the coaching of the NFL, of the college line. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. And there are some things that make the first version of what he's asking for hard as well, right? So time in the pocket or time after snap. So that's time between the ball is snapped and they're pressured, or is if you factor in their time between the ball is snapped and the ball is released, that might have cut you short. Like, who knows how long they could have held him, right? So
You'd have to do some work,
but that could get interesting. If you dice that up right, that actually could be a very interesting statistic.
They do have some of that in the NFL. It's always complicated by quarterbacks that can move, right? If you go back in time and when quarterbacks actually stayed in the pocket mostly, like a Dan Marino, right? He was so lethal partially because of his ability to get rid of the ball quickly, right? Even when there was nothing there and he didn't move around a lot. But if you look at somebody like Aaron Rodgers or pick mobile NFL quarterback, they can extend the play for a long time, even if their line isn't playing particularly well. But I think I get what Tim's going at is that I think BYU has struggled with time in the pocket the last few years, right? There has not been, except when Taysom Hill was able to create with his feet, there have been a lot of times where maybe the quarterbacks aren't getting a fair shake because they're not actually getting enough time to go through more than one option, right? And that's a bad day.
Right.
They gotta be able to, especially young quarterbacks, they need the time to get to that second or third option. So, anyway. And most of the great quarterbacks in BYU history had really good offensive lines. I mean, we can say that, right? But it's a little bit of a chicken and egg, like you said. If the guy gets the ball out fast, then the offensive line sure looks better, don't they? Than if he holds on to it, right? If you know, Dan Marino bought all of his linemen like Isotoner gloves, right? Weren't those the commercials? But yeah. I think he actually bought them nice stuff besides the gloves. But part of
pretty
the reason
nice. Those are pretty nice gloves.
Those are nice gloves. That his line looked good was because Marino got rid of the ball so fast, right? So, switching to basketball, Matt, Nick Emery is back.
Back in action. I use that phrase a lot. I use that phrase way more than it should be used. Back is that action. A slow clap for that, Nick Emery?
Yeah, it was a slow clap. Welcome back, Nick. I love it. Bring him back. So Andre Hutchins has a – do we have an Andre Hutchins? Like, do you say like, Andre
Hutchins? No. Hutch. No, I don't. I do neither of those things.
Huh. Why is that?
Do you want to start doing an Andre Hutchins sound effect? You're welcome
your
to do
beef
it.
Beef with Andre? Are you guys still beefing?
It's kind of a low-key beef right now. It's like a Cold War.
Andre's entire beef is switched over to his hatred of The Last Jedi, so I don't think he even pays attention to you anymore.
That's part of the issue.
He does not like The Last Jedi.
That's part of how I'm offended.
Yeah, yeah. You're like the Joker in Lego Batman.
Yes.
Like, you're offended because he has eyes for another villain.
You see they're coming out with a Lego Movie 2, by the way?
Lego Batman Movie 2 or Lego Movie 2?
Lego Movie 2.
I think that's a bad idea.
Yeah, I think there's a scene in it where they actually jump the shark.
Yeah, it's next year. Huh, look at that.
Yeah, I saw the preview in the 30 minutes of previews and commercials before Incredible 2 started.
Oh, I didn't see that one. We saw a lot
of
previews.
Do you know what it's like to get a 3-year-old to sit through 30 minutes of commercials and previews when you've been psyching him up for a movie in the theater all day?
I do, because I was sitting next to she's technically 4 now. She just had a birthday. But yes, I know exactly. She looked at me about halfway through and said, "Where's the movie?" And then when the little short film at the beginning, she just looked over at me like, "This is not The Incredibles."
And the gasps in the theater during I don't want to spoil the short film, but the gasps in the theater at like the climax point, I was like, what is this? What are we watching?
It was the best.
It was bizarre.
It was the best.
I can never eat dumplings again.
So anyway, Andre has this to ask us. So Emery voluntarily sits out for a year, withdraws from school, and has zero team interactions. And yet, the NCAA still mandates, and this is true, that he sit out an additional 9 games. What gives, in all caps, is the NCAA coming down too hard on Nick? Yes, the NCAA is terrible.
No, it's amateurism.
He got tickets to go see Harry Potter World. Like, who the freak cares? Right? Like, and my best was the Kirk Cragthorpe article in Salt Lake Tribune. Basically, was just referencing all of the terrible investigative journalism they did on this case, where it was supposed to be some, like, Pandora's box for BYU's sports program, and it turned out to be basically nothing, right? Except for some Trib reporters lost sleep trying to track down what car he was driving. I don't know. Yes, Andre, they're being too harsh. He sat a year.
This is asinine. Yeah. The NCAA makes no sense to me at all. Yeah,
it's stupid.
You know what's going to kill the NCAA eventually?
What's that? Lawsuits?
No. Oh. Here's what I'll give you the short version. So I was in a conversation today with somebody about soccer because it's World Cup time and how the MLS teams in the United States are starting their. What do they call the farm systems in soccer? There's a different name for it. They're camps or whatever it is, right? And so they can get these kids, because right now what's really hurting soccer, or so people say in the United States, I promise I'm going somewhere with this, is that you got to pay all this money to play on these travel teams, and that's how you get noticed and get these opportunities or blah, 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 blah. But when the teams take control of their own farm system, they can get these kids, regardless of social status, just based on talent, they can get the right kids, you know, plugged into the system and all this. But by getting these kids committed into these systems at a young age, I think at some point they're going to run afoul or run into – there's going to be some loggerheads with the NCAA. And you look at – and then I see two other really good examples of this, right? You look at the NBA and this one-and-done rule, and the NBA and NCAA have tried to kind of cooperate on this, and it's been a disaster. They can't figure out the right way to do it. It's going to eventually go away. And I think you're going to see similar things start to happen in some of these other sports. You know, maybe not football, because the model for football seems to work. But eventually, the way sports works today with AAU ball and all these other things, we're going to outpace and outgrow the NCAA as a structure in major sports. They will fall apart.
Yeah, I think football
this
may
is a
be...
perfect example of why.
Football may be a place where it's highly sustainable, mainly because I don't think the NFL has ever shown any interest in creating their own farm system, right? So college football acts as their farm system, right? And it has the one where you don't have to play on traveling teams, right? It is still a system of mainly high school. Right, as opposed to soccer, even basketball, other sports where these club teams have come to replace high school teams as the most important team to play on, right? And again, costs a lot of money, you got to travel, yada, yada. But football is the equalizer, right? Because you don't have to travel, you play on the high school football team. Now, yes, some of these camps and things might be, but if you look at the evidence, there's actually not a lot of evidence that going to those elite camps does anything for pro access. There's a lot of people that end up the pros that don't go to those camps, right? My point being that I agree with you. I think the NCAA is headed towards collapse in a lot of ways. I actually think lawsuits is one of the reasons it's going to come down because, I mean, look, it already changed the last lawsuit. They gave the players more money, right? Because they're trying to avoid a judge or somebody saying basically, you know, you guys, I mean, amateurism was fine when you made no money off this stuff, right? When you're basically covering your costs and maybe not even that. It's a little different when you become a multi-billion-dollar industry and you're trying to tell people that you can't afford, you know, you can't afford to help a kid get nobody can pay for a kid to get to a grandparent's funeral, right? That it's some type of violation of some stupid rule, right? Or in the case of Nick Emery, maybe he'd violated some rules, right? He sat out a freaking season, move on, right? The NCAA, it's just move on time, right? Okay, he violated the rules, but he sat out a year, we'll just count it as that. But
they've got to get their pound of flesh. But you know what? If Nick Emery, this is the other thing that's going to kill him, is when they start doing crazy things like this to big football prospects and it somehow impacts their career or somebody gets hurt or whatever it is, that's when they'll start to run afoul of the NFL.
Oh, but they wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done it to a big football prospect. This happens to Nick Emery. And it happens to basketball because it's easy to punish and also because – basketball right now is a freaking mess, right? Because of all the other stuff with the FBI, right? Like, they got to seem tough right now. Football, they don't do jack squat. This type of stuff is happening at major football programs way more than what Nick Emery got. They're not just going to Harry Potter World, right? I mean,
they might be going to Harry Potter World.
I saw that 90s movie. What was it? The Program? Is that the name of that movie?
Yeah.
Where people people started laying down in the middle of the street because they did that in the movie.
That was weird.
That was weird. So Matt, we have our final movie, shout though. Today that is brought to us by Tyler Anderson and an awesome email he sent us.
Fantastic.
If you want to email us, you can do it at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. All right. So he's got a game for us. Would You Rather is the game. Okay?
All right. I'm ready.
So he set it up. Basically, you're picking between two things. Would you rather have one or the other? Okay? So here's his first one. Are you ready?
Let's do this.
BYU Sports Nation had this on, so we're stealing, but that's okay. We steal all the time. Would you rather BYU football be an independent and have a championship in 1984, basically current state, or they would be in a Power 5 conference today but never have won the 1984 championship? Would you rather current state or some mythical state where no championship but they play in the Pac-12 or the Big 12?
I would take the mythical state.
No way. Take the current state. Banners are forever.
Yeah, but we'll never win one again.
So what? Great. So will most Power 5 teams will never win one again either. But we got one. We got it. And it's great to be able to shove in people's faces that hate us. I love it. But I understand what you're saying. Would you rather, number two, have Elijah Bryant or Yoeli Childs coming back for BYU basketball this year? Matt, would you rather Elijah Bryant or Yoeli?
I'm going to go with Elijah Bryant.
I'm going to go with Yoeli Childs, which is current state. Apparently, I like the current state of things.
Apparently, I'm a dreamer.
I could actually go either way. They were pretty similar, I think, in value to the team. Obviously, they do very, very different things. I was just glad that one of them is coming back.
I think similar enough that a lot of BYU fans are getting them confused. Did you see that? I think it was Elijah Bryant who tweeted this. How people keep, he runs into people and they're like, oh, we're so glad you're coming back for your senior year. And he's like, yeah, about that.
Oh. Not to make this racial, but do you think
BYU fans are the best?
I mean, do you think if they were two balding white guys, they'd be getting confused?
If they were both had the last name Hawes, still no.
All right. Number three. Would you rather beat Utah in football every year for the next 10 years but never get a top 20 win? Or
because they will never be a top 20 team.
That's correct.
In this scenario,
apparently. Clear. I mean, Tyler's scenario, not mine.
I didn't say it. I just wanted to clarify.
No, I think we got to clarify that. Or lose to Utah every year for the next 10 years. But get four top 10 wins. This one's a little complicated, but I'm following Tyler.
I was told there would be no math.
We didn't tell you that. Tyler didn't say that. I don't know what Tyler's vocation is, but maybe he is a math guy. So there is math. So basically, we beat Utah for the next 10 years, or we lose to them for the next 10 years, but we get four top 10 wins. And in the first scenario, we basically don't beat any top 20 teams.
Second scenario, I only get four top 10 wins in the next 10 years?
Four top 10 wins in 10 years. This is a tough one. He set this one up rather well.
Yeah, this one, he really hit the sweet spot on this one.
I'm going to go with the second scenario because those wins against like Oklahoma, Miami, those wins stick in your mind. I mean, great rivalry wins also stick in your mind. I don't know, man.
But you know what? If you get four top 10 wins, depending on where they land and what else is going on in your schedule, you could beat a top 10 team, lose to Utah, and still make it to a really good bowl game. Possible. So I'm going to go ahead and stick to the second one. It's more possible than never winning a top 20 win. 10 years without beating a single team in the top 20?
Yeah, I know. That's...
Can you imagine what a meandering through the wilderness that would be? I mean,
meandering through the wilderness?
I did, and I stumbled through it.
Is that 40 years? Anyway.
I don't know if it would feel like it is. It would. Think about it. Not a single top 20 win in a decade.
Think about what
that would do. You'd have a whole generation of BYU fans that would have no sense. Like, you'd lose fans. I mean, kids would grow up and be like, this team sucks. I don't want to cheer for this team. Yeah, I mean, I think you have to go with the second option here, even if you have to stomach some losses to the University of Utah. I mean, shoot, that's we're already living that reality. We might as well take the top 10 wins from it.
Yeah. That's true. All right. Would you rather Kyle Collinsworth play for this year's basketball team or Jamal Williams play for this year's football team?
I want Jamal.
That one's easy. I'll give you another one. I thought of one as I was reading through these. Okay, you ready for this one?
Okay.
Danny Ainge playing for this year's basketball team. And I don't mean Danny Ainge at, you know, age, you know, 60. I mean,
he's coming back. It's like that
coming
movie.
Back.
Like, yeah. We were wrong. He's got another year of eligibility, and we're going to ignore this professional career. He's coming back.
No, it's in his, you know, college.
Crazy NCAA loophole.
College
no
Danny
extra
Ainge.
Socks.
Versus, or you could have, let's see here, Max Hall for the football team.
Ooh, that one's pretty good.
I think it's tough, but I'm going to take Danny Ainge on the basketball team.
But wait a minute. Do I still have my Jamal Williams from question number four?
No.
If I still had my Jamal Williams from question number four, this is easy. I want Max Hall. I'll tell you this, though. If Max Hall were on the current roster, would we have a quarterback controversy on our hands? No.
If Max Hall was on
the answer to that question,
roster?
Yeah.
An unproven Max Hall or a Max Hall –
senior year Max Hall.
Oh, no, of course not.
Yeah, exactly. I take Max Hall.
If Tanner was absolutely established as the starter, right, or if Bo Hodge had finished out the year and played awesome, there's no controversy, right? All these freshmen are basically jockeying for who's going to play next, right?
Yeah,
but
I want
that's
Max.
Why you have a controversy. You don't have a quarterback who's established. His last one is, would you rather take 5 Star Wars movies or 5 Marvel movies with you to a deserted desert island? And by the way, he says, of course, you'll be able to watch them with a Blu-ray player. He says DVD.
He said DVD player. I was like, so wait a minute. This scenario also takes place in the 1990s?
I want a Blu-ray player, all right? I want some HD, all right?
Why do I need a player for this? Why do I need a Blu-ray player? Why can't I just have digital... Why can't I just have digital copies of all these things?
Well, you need something with no glare, right? So you can watch them during the day? I don't know. Anyway, yes, digital copies. However, let's forget about the technology format.
Format is important here, okay?
No, it's not.
Because depending on what format the movies are in, do I have the scenes that they edited back into the original 3 Star Wars movies with like the weird creatures and all that?
You can have it either way. You're missing the point.
Okay.
As is typical. 5 Star Wars movies or 5 Marvel Cinematic Universe movies?
This isn't even a contest for me. I'm taking the Marvel movies. I don't even think about it.
I can't believe I'm saying this, because if you had told me 10 years ago that I'd even be thinking about not taking 3 Star Wars movies, I would have said you were nuts.
No, it's 5 Star Wars movies.
But that's the whole point, right?
I don't want to watch 5 Star Wars movies over and over again forever.
No, I want to take Civil War, Winter Soldier, Infinity War. Can I wait to go to this island till Avengers 4 comes out?
He didn't say you couldn't.
So Black Panther, I'll take that to the desert island. The first Incredible Hulk, I'm kidding. I don't want to take that one to the island. Well, maybe you do, so that you feel like there's a comparison, right? Like
why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Better. These other 4 movies are way better. No, you don't want to do it.
You can take all of the soda that you want, and you're like, well, I'm going to take Diet Pepsi because I just want to. I want to taste something terrible to remind me. Like, what? Well, it doesn't make any sense what you're saying. You take the 5 best movies. Don't take some crappy movie you're not going to watch. You just wasted a movie. You might as well have brought Jar Jar Binks with you.
Hey, he didn't say that Jar Jar Binks wouldn't be marooned on that island with you.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine?
It'd be like, what's that with Gilligan? What's that movie? That TV show?
Gilligan's Island?
Gilligan's Island. Can you imagine Gilligan's Island recast with Jar Jar Binks?
You remember Gilligan, but you can't remember the name of the show?
I don't know. It's been a while since I've seen that show. But think about it. It's recast. We should totally redo that. I've got a new bleep episode. Recast Gilligan's Island with science fiction and fantasy characters, starting with Jar Jar Binks as Gilligan. Are you with me?
Wow. This is actually, I think you might have something there.
Jabba the Hutt as the captain.
I want Black Widow.
You want Black Widow in there somewhere?
But you know what? She won't last on the island. She'll find a way out.
That's right. That's right.
She'll be at, by the end of the first episode, everyone will be like, hey, where did she go?
Where did Black Widow go? Why didn't she take any of us with you? And then she's on a boat going, I did the world a service by leaving Jar Jar Binks behind.
No, he'd be dead. They would have found Jar Jar Binks' dead body, and she would be gone.
All right. Well, we're gonna finish with a question here from John Harrison on Twitter. And if you want to tweet at us, of course, it's at BYU_RiseShop. John says this, and that's at Toffee Tech, I believe, is his handle on Twitter. Do they still see handle? Is that still a thing?
Is that a thing that the kids say? That was the term in The Matrix, wasn't it?
I believe so. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
What should I get, John says, at Torchy Tacos for my last meal before moving to Utah, which I don't believe there are any Torchy's Tacos because they cannot have damn good tacos in Utah. That would be outlawed.
Would they have to change the labels?
No, they wouldn't have to change the label. There's beer companies that make polygamy jokes in Salt Lake. I'm pretty sure you could get away with the word damn.
The beer was probably brewed by polygamists, so that's
well, I mean, you know, as it should be. So what's his last meal? You're the Torchy Tacos expert. I'm more of a novice in the.
So if this is a last meal, I suggest that you go all out.
Okay.
Okay, John. So you're gonna go all out. You're gonna order the regular sized order of the hillbilly queso, and you're gonna eat that entire thing. You might even lick the bowl when you're done. Okay. Then you're going to order a trailer park, but you're going to get it served trashy, which means they take anything resembling a vegetable off of it and replace it with additional queso. So at this point, you've had approximately 4 pounds of queso. Okay? And then after that, okay, when you're done with that, you're going to now venture into the secret menu, and you're going to have an additional taco. Okay? And you're going to regret this decision. It's going to hurt, but it's all for the best, I promise. You're going to order the Ace of Spades. Which some of you were saying, what is the Ace of Spades? And I'll tell you what the Ace of Spades is.
Ace of Spades! Ace of Spades! Isn't that a song? I only know that song because it was on, it was one of the background songs on one of the Tony Hawk games. You know what I'm talking about? It's by Motorhead. You know what I'm talking about? Ace of Spades?
Sure.
Okay, anyway, go ahead.
All right, the Ace of Spades.
Torchy Tacos talk.
Here's the Ace of Spades off of the secret menu. It's a jalapeno sausage link, grilled brisket, a fried egg, green chili queso, cilantro, cotija cheese, sour cream, and Diablo sauce on a flour tortilla. It takes two tortillas. You may never have to eat again. This will be your last meal, John, because it might kill you. But it will be so delicious that it will change your life.
Well, I don't think he wants it to be his last meal of his life.
Well, he's not clear about that in his
tweet. I don't know how.
Maybe he's just, you know, I don't know.
Fair enough. He does not specify.
What he ought to do is just open up a Torchy's in Utah. I don't know what he's moving to Utah for, but it should be to open up a Torchy's Tacos.
Do they franchise?
I think they own all their stores. I don't think they independently franchise.
Yeah. So.
But even after a while, even Five Guys gave that up. So.
Eventually, everybody does so they can get the money, right? They want the revenue stream.
Yep.
By the way, I saw somebody, and I can't stand these. Saw somebody tweet about they ate at Five Guys and it's not that great, and the fries were mediocre. Okay. That would have been interesting. 15 years ago. Like at this point that's such a that's such an old take. I'm waiting for them to say I finally got around to having one of these Big Macs and it's not really that great.
You know what? I finally purchased a smartphone and I'm just not that excited about it. Where have you been?
Yeah, I'm like so now your hot take is you bunch of people that like Five Guys are idiots. I ate there once and 15 years later and it's not that great, which is fine actually. People can You can like whatever restaurant burger joint you want. I like Five
Guys. But in 2018, nobody cares that you don't like Five Guys.
No, nobody cares. You tweeting that out just says way more about you than it says about Five Guys. And I don't think whoever this guy was that I was reading this tweet, I'm like, I doubt like Five Guys, like business leadership is all like, oh my gosh, this random guy on Twitter
Wheels are coming off.
We might as well just shut down now.
Pack it in.
Shut off the lights, people.
We never should have franchised. I told you that was a wrong, that was a bad mistake.
Sweep
but you four,
peanuts.
The four of you outvoted me.
Anyway, all right. Well, this has been a podcast.
Hey, can I just throw out one last thing on our way out the door here, going back to our World Cup thing? And
sure,
do you have a team in the World Cup?
Yeah.
BYU tweeted out the top 10 competing nations where most BYU students served missions.
Oh. Okay.
So I'm just going to read you the list real quick. So in order, number one, Brazil.
Of course.
Mexico, of course. Argentina, Japan, Peru, Russia, South Korea, Germany, Spain, and France. The best part about this story, though, is that, let's see, should I say his Twitter handle? Somebody responded to that tweet by saying, well, I guess the USA missions really aren't missions. Hashtag stereotypes. And the BYU Twitter account came back and said, the United States didn't qualify for the World Cup, so they are not on this list. This only includes nations that are actually competing.
It's like the Wendy's Twitter account with the frozen beef.
It was awesome. It was great. It was great. So, but the best part about the World Cup is that I'm sure BYU campus is just filled with ill-fitting soccer jerseys from these 10 countries.
Oh,
There's absolutely no
doubt. And I serve stateside, right? So I'm hashtag not important mission, apparently, according to BYU's official Twitter account. Thanks. BYU.
Did not qualify for the World Cup.
No. And by the way, that's kind of sad. Hey, how do you feel about Canada and the United States in 8 years co-hosting the World Cup?
Isn't it Canada, the United States, and Mexico?
Is it Mexico?
I thought it was all
too?
Three of us. I thought it was a full-on North America bid.
No, I think it's just Canada and Mexico.
Well, I don't know. It's just I don't think we're
they're
friends.
Calling it North America, but I think
2026.
It's just
are we going to be friends with any of the countries that border us at that point? So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, not likely. But no, I think it's just Canada and the United States. Let's see. No, you're right. It is Mexico. I don't know why I missed that. For some reason, I totally missed that. So there's going to be 16 venues.
Yeah, and the stadiums are all built. It's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah, it's what they should be doing with it in 4 years instead of going to Qatar.
It's going to be way too hot there.
Yeah, and before everyone gets upset at me, I believe that's actually how you pronounce it, not Qatar. So, you know. Get all mad at me if you want. Canada, they're looking Montreal, Edmonton, and Toronto. That'd be fun to go see a game there.
Good sounds. I'm telling you, that is a bros trip right there.
Yeah.
That is the brothers trip that year.
Mexico,
we should go to a World
Monterey,
Cup.
Monterey, Guadalajara. And then in the United States, a bunch of venues because most of the matches are going to be in the United States. Let's see. No Minnesota, though. That seems
Houston's
like
on the list, I bet.
Missed opportunity. Boston's on the list. Houston is not on the list. I'm totally kidding. They're on the list. NRG Stadium's on the list.
No brainer.
So anyway, that'll be a blast. I will note that there's nothing up here in the great wide north of Minnesota, which is unfortunate. But we hosted a Super Bowl. So there you go. I guess they don't want to do it in domes. But that's not true. Is that true? None of these are domes. Yeah, it's all.
I think they want natural grass and outside.
Yeah, that makes sense. Anyway, all right. Well, this has been a podcast.
There you go.
Next week we will be on, but it'll be a different kind of episode. I'm going to have a special guest, just me and the guest talking for a little bit. It'll be a little bit shorter version. Then we're off in 2 weeks for the 4th of July. So check back with us. Obviously next week, and then Matt and I will be back together in 3 weeks to basically we'll recap Media Day, and we're going to start previewing the 2018 football season, Matt.
Yes.
That's how close we are, and we're going to start off with basically big picture expectations for the 2018 team and what success looks like. So stay tuned in 3 weeks for the beginning of our 2018 football preview episodes.
It's going to be awesome.
I mean, because you look at that, Matt, you can count the number of episodes we'll have before Arizona with two hands.
We should start a countdown.
Sure, there's a few days left. Let's see. Where is that? There's a countdown somewhere, isn't there? 74 days, 14 hours, as we're recording this until the Arizona game.
Wow.
74
days. We're basically there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway. Well, thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. As a reminder, always, if it's one of your first times listening to the podcast, go ahead and subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast service. If there's a podcast service you're on that you can't find us or whatever, drop us a note, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com, and let me know, and we'll try to get our podcast loaded on one of those services. You can always get a hold of us via Twitter at @BYU_RiseShout. And while we're gone, we'll try to do some Instagram stuff at @BYU_RiseShout on Instagram as well, in case there's any breaking news that you feel like you need the Mangum brothers to say something about. But thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!